I've been on the speaking circuit, so I haven't been available many Sundays, which is a wonderful problem to have. Yeah, so today I chose to talk about embracing change. And I want to add to that, it's embracing change in these uncertain times. So I'm going to start with a quote from Ernest Holmes, who, you know, I know his work intimately, so I share it with you. Change is the only thing that is permanent. The only thing we can say of anything that looks static is that this too shall pass. If it were not so, the infinite would get caught in its own mold. God would be stopped by its own creation, and creativity would be absorbed in its creation. Change is the law of human experience, for only God is permanent. God's mind is forever conceiving new ideas, and the infinite law is forever producing new forms. So I was reading a book the last week or so, and the title of it is Fear. And it was written by Bob Woodward. And in March of 2016, he asked a then presidential candidate about how he was going to govern. And the candidate said, I don't even want to use the word. But then he used the word, and the word was fear. Over the past 3 years, our nation has experienced what I hope will never become our new normal, which is fear. As mass shootings continue to rise, as immigrants are fearful of being separated from their loved ones or deported back to places that many risked their lives to escape, as the Dow plummeted 800 points in one day, a dramatic increase in catastrophic events such as what's happening in the Bahamas right now. These changes are happening more frequently. So how do these changes, in all of the uncertainty that they present, affect us? When we're faced with a significant change in our personal or professional lives, we go through stages of emotion. And as we begin to react to the change, we may start to feel concern, anger, resentment, and even fear. As the reaction to change is very personal and can be highly emotional, it's near impossible to preempt our emotions. We may also be unaware of the ways that all of these changes at a macro level is affecting each of us individually. And I quote President Obama. Had you worried, didn't I? Given the strange and uncertain times that we are in, and they are strange, and they are uncertain, each day's news cycle brings more head-spinning and disturbing headlines. We now see much of the world threatening to return to a more dangerous, less caring, uncertain place. So I say to you that uncertainty is more constant than most of us may care to believe or think about. And how we deal with it, how we cope with it, defines our path towards happiness and well-being. These uncertain times have certainly created new realities for us. that we've had to adjust to. And these changing times and circumstances have taught us a lot about ourselves and may have even taught us a lot about others as well. For instance, very recently, after the mass shootings that occurred in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas, we were all affected by that. And I was watching a local news program. I was in the Northeast Corridor. And the anchor reported that in New York City, a couple of days after Dayton and El Paso, that a car backfired on 6th Avenue. And the people ran in fear for their lives. We're anxious. We're on edge. And those individuals couldn't distinguish a car backfiring from gunshots. And so what happened? The primal emotional reaction, fight or flight syndrome, kicked in. Our entire nation is anxious. Uncertain times reveal realities such as we can't predict the future based on the past because change is so dynamic. It's constant, and it's up to each of us to create and sustain our own mental health, emotional health, and well-being. Uncertain times reveal just how resilient we are. They present us with tests of our resiliency, our willpower, our character. They measure our mental and our spiritual hardiness, our capacity to adapt, to grow, to stretch. And also, it heightens our awareness, the awareness that's necessary for us to be the governors of our thoughts, therefore being in control of our responses to all of the change that is happening to us and around us. So according to a study that was conducted by the American Psychological Association in 2018, 39% of Americans were more anxious than they were when they conducted the same study the year prior. And what is anxiety? It's a lower grade version of a fear response. And as a society, we are becoming anxious about our safety, for some of us about our health. My daughter lives in Newark, New Jersey. Need I say more? Can I drink the water? They discovered lead in the pipes, and they're talking about, should we be, as a government, municipality, providing our citizens with bottled water because it's not consumable? We may be anxious about our finances, particularly if you invested in the stock market and it's going up and down and up and down and up and down. The political climate is becoming more polarized. Climate change is creating just all of these things that happened infrequently, like hurricanes and earthquakes, much more often. And then, of course, our global relationships, kind of precarious in a lot of situations. So change is the only cosmological constant. It's also difficult in a lot of instances, particularly when the change is beyond our ability to control it, or when the changes are imposed upon us without our approval, without our agreement. such as changes in our health or changes in a relationship because, say, someone passed on or we got a divorce. There's usually an element of pain associated with change, even when the change is for the better. For instance, like moving to a more affluent neighborhood, moving on up. But that also means that we're leaving familiar faces and places and friendships. Now, the scriptures are full of stories about changes and people responding to change and the very experiences of the stages of emotion that they went through. So I'm going to share two with you. So the first one is the rich young ruler. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, then keep his commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell all of your possessions." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away experiencing yet another emotion called grief. He grieved before he even got rid of anything, the loss of his material possessions. So note the change facing this very wealthy young man. He had to change his entire value system. He valued the law and one's ability to obey it. He valued money and the security and the prestige that it gave to him. Jesus meets this man and challenges him to reevaluate his core values. From the self-righteousness derived from obeying the law of righteousness that will come from believing in Christ, there was a shift that was required for this young wealthy man. Another change or shift was from the comfort and the assurance that wealth provides to trusting something that's unseen, that God will provide. So the pain that I speak of associated with change, he encountered were from swallowing his pride and allowing his relationship with the Christ to be the thing that makes him perfect, not his ability to know and obey the law, and trusting, again, in something that is unseen required much of this young ruler. And also the pain experienced when he had to just rely on something other than himself. I had a conversation with a neighbor of mine yesterday, and we're just, you know, getting to know each other. And so each time I reveal a little bit more. And so she wants to go to the museum. She's a few years older than me, maybe 15 or so. And age is a mindset, right? Getting old is optional. But she talks about, you know, driving in the city now. You know, you're so much younger than me. Why don't you drive? I said, "All right, we'll go. Where do you want to go?" She said, "I want to go to the museum." And so I said, "Great. We will go to the museum together." And so we were talking, and she said, "You know, I have a friend who's an atheist. And We've been in conversation, and I trust you're a believer. See, I haven't revealed all this to her as yet. I said, yeah, I am a believer. I said, some little known fact is, I'm also a minister. She goes, oh, I knew it, I knew it. And she said, well, my friend is an atheist. And I asked my friend, you know, where do you go? What do you do when all this stuff is happening and changing? She says, I'm afraid because I'm getting so much older. I'm afraid to drive. I'm afraid to, and she just started naming her whole list of fears. And she said, but I also pray. But what do my friends who don't have faith in their lives, what do they do? I said, well, they believe that if it's going to be, it's up to them entirely. And so I said, but we believe in something bigger and greater than ourselves. So I think we are in a better position to cope with all of life's changes. And she says, yes, I'm glad you agree with me. So in going back to the rich young man, the things that caused him pain were not physical. They were psychological. He also experienced spiritual discomfort. And the changes that he went through for him were very significant. So here's another biblical change story. Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, note the changes that Abraham had to make. He had to leave his country. He had to move to a foreign land that he didn't know anything about. He had to put his trust in something outside of himself. And he did experience some pain as well. What was that pain? Leaving the land of the familiar. You know, there's comfort in that. It's comfort in knowing, you know, what you can expect and being able to predict things. It helps us to cope. Well, all of this was being taken away from him, of course, if he chose to respond. The pain of leaving his relatives, his home, his friends, the risk of leaving the security that he had come to know, to go to a place that he was being sent, not that he chose, that he was being sent. However, what he did, which was different from what the young rich ruler did, he chose to find the good in the change. So this is what he focused on. My name and my family will be great. God will give me many descendants. The world will be blessed through me and my descendants. So what's the point of this story? It's all about mindset. We have, every time we are confronted with uncertainty, every time we are confronted with a change, we have the opportunity to pause and choose how we respond. Responding requires a thought. Reaction is involuntary. But we are in control if we slow the process down. And if we do as Abraham did, and we think about and we focus on the good, in everything that happens, there is good if we choose to find it, if we choose to see it. So we live in very uncertain times, but it doesn't mean that we are not able to make changes in our lives to help us feel more comfortable with what's happening, what's evolving around us. We also have the opportunity to manage our emotions. So rather than letting life just happen to us and reacting to it, getting fixated on the things that we don't like, being fixated on the things that we have no control over, we can take control over what we think. So here are a few other reminders. See, you're all such a learned group. I remind you. I don't teach you anything. So let me remind you to accept change positively. We have the ability to be resilient, to be more tolerant, to be more emotionally intelligent. This capability stems from our mindset, which of course is caused by our faith. Faith is a causation. Another reminder, don't take the good times for granted. When good things happen, cherish the moment, because we don't know when to expect them again. Uncertain times have taught me to value my time, my resources, and my relationships. And what I have witnessed is that people are taking things for granted less than they have in the past. They're learning to value what's really important and what truly matters. Learn who your real friends are. So when you experience some unplanned change, some undesired change in your life, your real friends will embrace you. And they will embrace the pain with you. While others, well, they just might disappear. Therefore, so many people find it difficult to trust others and have become skeptical about whom they should trust, particularly when they're in a very vulnerable position. You'll know, because the ones that are there with you, not judging, but supporting, are the ones that you can trust. This fourth one you can practice with me right now, conscious breathing. Let's inhale and release and let it go. Breathing-based regulation is very helpful in our reactions to social political hot times and events and subjects. Whether watching the news, I don't recommend it. But if you do, or feeling anxious when responding to upsetting events, your breath is always available to you. It will help to regulate your natural anxiety, and it can help you control the other spectrum of emotions. Use your spiritual practices, such as your affirmations, your prayer, your meditation, and your centering. Charles Fillmore wrote an affirmation. And in this affirmation, let me just give you a little context. He was addressing his congregation because it was late 50s, early 60s. So you all can imagine what was going on in this country. Racial tensions were at an all-time high. And it wasn't just happening within our country. Unity is a microcosm of the country. It was happening within the movement. Folks were challenging. Johnny Coleman leading the way, for instance. Should we have, you know, the separate quarters for ministers of color? And Fillmore had to deal with that and stay on principle. So he wrote an affirmation because people were becoming very tense and very anxious. And the affirmation is this: I am free from fear, anxiety, worry, dread, and suspense. Would you all say that with me? I'll say it first, and then you repeat it. I am free from fear.
I am free from
fear. Anxiety.
Anxiety.
Worry.
Worry.
Dread.
And suspense.
I have faith in thy Holy Spirit.
I have faith in thy Holy Spirit.
And trust thee to protect me. To provide for me. And to bring all my affairs into divine order. And so I ask you all to breathe that in. And when you release it, sigh with peace. And lest I remind you, World Day of Prayer is being observed this month. It offers us myriad opportunities to usher in a new world order. World peace, peace within our nation, and most significantly, peace within ourselves. So participate in the World Day of Prayer activities that Unity is putting on so that you can do your part to disrupt this new order that we are experiencing. We have the power to do that because there is power in our prayer. And the thing about World Day of Prayer, there's power in our collective prayer. A critical mass of people thinking one thought at the same time can literally move mountains. So I offer you a challenge. All of this talk about change and uncertainty presents us with opportunity. Here's the challenge. I want us to decide if our faith is going to be a part of our lives or if our faith is going to be our lives. There's a distinction. When faith is a part of our lives, we control it. 10% of the time when we're conscious. Subconscious mind is controlling everything else. And as with every change, there's some pain connected with this kind of transformation. The pain that comes with removing self as the focus of every decision, every action, every thought, and making God the one that we live for. There is also the inconvenience of making our spirituality the number one priority over everything else in our lives. What's the inconvenience? Well, you've got to make time. I'm too busy. Well, then you're too busy. You're just really too busy. We must devote time to prayer. We must devote time to meditation so that we build our internal reservoir so that when things happen beyond our control, we go deep within. And we summons that peace that we have built up from our regular spiritual practices. So are you up to the challenge? Is it going to be fear or faith? Wow, it's kind of weak. Is it going to be fear or faith? All right. And so I remind you, in those very turbulent times of racial tensions, Charles Fillmore stayed on principle. Principle is constant, unchanging. Spiritual truth is constant, consistent, and unchanging. I remind you that we are free from fear, anxiety, worry, dread, and suspense because we have the faith of the Holy Spirit to protect us, to provide for us, and to bring all of our affairs and even the world affairs into divine order. And so it is. Amen.